always bless us with a beautiful day to worship Him. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship our Savior this morning. Getting the kids wet, maybe she'll probably get wet a little bit too, is my guess. So that is, she She's going to be, she's a slip and slide too. So that should be an adventure zone. That'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. Youth, we do have our intensity movie study tonight at 5 p.m. as well. So activities going on this evening tonight here at the church. I do want to remind our church this Wednesday, July 28th, is our book study and our picnic in our prayer garden. We had a wonderful study during the month of June, and this month, during the month of July, we are reading Henry Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. A wonderful look at that parable from Scripture. If you haven't read the book, as I said last month, you don't have to read the book to come to our book study. We're talking about that parable of the prodigal son. Nouwen does an interesting look at the three main characters from that parable. So join me this Wednesday at 10 a.m. in the prayer garden. If it happens to rain, that's okay. We'll probably gather here in the sanctuary. We'll have a wonderful time of discussion. Don't forget to bring a lunch too. We'll have some time of fellowship following that time of discussion this Wednesday at 10 a.m. Now, originally scheduled that we were going to have a work day this Saturday on the parking lot, doing some edging around the edge of the parking lot after we just got it paved. Because of the heat, high humidity we've had over the last couple weeks. Jerry and the building team have decided to postpone that for a couple weeks. So we've rescheduled that date for August 21st. So go ahead and mark your calendar for that date so we can make sure we do some work on that on the parking lot on that day. So August 21st is the rescheduled date for that work day. Over the last couple weeks, I have talked to you about the collection we're doing during the month of July for the Cancer Center Food Pantry, sponsored by the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation. This is the last Sunday we're collecting items, but if you forgot to bring your items today, we've already collected quite a few items. You saw them at the end of the hallway this morning. It's not too late. If you can bring those items by this Thursday, the church office by this Thursday, we'll make sure we get them to put together with all the other items we've collected to get delivered by the end of this week. So if you're going to the grocery store early this week and want to pick up a few more items, please get them to the church office by this Thursday, and we'll make sure we get those to the Cancer Center for their food pantry. We are still collecting school supplies for the Chamber of Commerce's school supply collection. There's a box down here at the lower entrance. There's boxes upstairs in the fellowship hall, so many places that you can go and drop those items off. So when you run out to the drugstore, or you run out to the grocery store, or you run out to Target, get some of those school supplies up that you see that already started being put out for our students and our teachers. Pick some of those items up and bring them by and drop them off for that school collection that's going on right now. Last but not least, the Mount Zion Baptist Association is hosting a senior adult banquet coming up in August, on August 19th. Dave's going to talk a little bit more details about this next Sunday, but if you're interested in this, it's coming up. It'll be held in Liberty at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Liberty. If you're interested in it, there's sign-up sheets in the Sunday school classrooms with more details. It's in the newsletter. She'll talk about it next Sunday. You can talk to her this morning about it as well. But if you want to go, she's planning to take the church bus to this event. Should be a fun time of gathering together with churches in the association. Many other things are going on. You received your August newsletter this past week. Take a special note of some of those things coming up in the next couple weeks. We are gathered here to worship our Lord and Savior this morning. So at this time, stand up, let's worship and sing praise to God this morning.
You've been made in this world.
you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of your glory, of your kingdom, and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. If we think about when we come to worship, that's what we're coming to do. We come to call on him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, calling on the one we have gathered to worship. Let's pray. Merciful God, we gather together to offer you our praise and thanksgiving this morning for the unfailing love that you have shown toward us generation after generation, and for the compassion you shower upon us day after day. You alone are our God. We are your people. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move among us as we worship you this day. Open our hearts and our minds to see you at work among us, encouraging us, challenging us, uplifting us, and inspiring us as each one has need. May our worship bring honor and glory to you this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is God Who Go That Great Jehovah. Let's stand and sing together.
Mm-hmm.
to eat. All Baptists love to eat, right? Am I wrong? On Sunday, August the 22nd, we will have a church-wide breakfast. We'll be honoring our educators, both current and retired. We're serving casseroles, bagels, donuts, fruits, and milk, juice, all that good stuff. So mark your calendar for August the 22nd. At 9 o'clock, we will meet in the fellowship hall, and I look forward to having fellowship around the table.
And the answer is yes, Dave, we love to go to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this time for our time of offering. Blessed One, you offer a redemptive inheritance sometimes beyond our imagination. You graciously bestow each of us with your wisdom, your grace, your forgiveness, and your love. Joyously, Father, we share these tithes and offerings this day. As you call us to give, you remind us to place our hopes and our dreams in your love and grace. Thank you, God, for giving us your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name this day. Amen.
Thank you.
pray with me this morning. Father God, we live in a world that is in need of your light and direction. We come to you in prayer this day. We ask that you reveal yourself not just to us that are gathered here to worship this morning, but to the world this day. God of love, hear the cry of those who yearn for love. Fractured families, broken homes, neglected, unwanted, alone. God of love, hear our prayer this day. God of justice, hear the cry of those who yearn for justice, persecuted and oppressed, exploited, ill-treated, broken. God of justice, hear our prayer this day. God of peace, hear the cry of those who yearn for peace in battle zones and broken states, frightened, fearful, anxious. God of peace, hear our prayer this day. God of healing, hear the cry of those who yearn for healing, physical and spiritual, hurting, weakened, depressed. God of healing, hear our prayer this day. God of mercy, hear the cry of those who yearn for mercy, convicted, in need of your grace, contrite, humble, bow down. God of mercy, hear our prayer this day. May they know the peace of God, the love of God, the justice of God, the healing and mercy of God, not just this day, but every day, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who brought peace, love, justice, healing, and mercy to our world. Amen. Again this morning, I want to say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship this beautiful Sunday morning. It was good to gather outside a little bit earlier, and it's good to gather inside in air conditioning this morning. The sun was shining right in my eyes this morning, and I was praying. When I was preaching about the sky and preaching about the pillar of cloud from Exodus that we'll be talking about in just a few moments, and I was praying for that pillar of cloud this morning as I was preaching outside today. God did not provide it, but anyway, it is good to gather this morning for worship. This morning we are continuing our sermon series, The Dog Days of Summer, as we focus on some of those hottest sermons, hottest stories in Scripture during these hottest days of the summer calendar. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for Daniel chapter 3, as we saw that God serves as our preserver. Last week, we looked at the chariots of fire that protected the prophet Elisha and his servant from 2 Kings chapter 6, as God serves as our protector. This week, we're going to look at what I like to call some of those tag-on verses. These are those verses in Scripture that oftentimes are in the Scripture stories that we quickly run over, we quickly read, quickly pass to get to the heart of the story. And these verses that we're going to kind of read this morning are some of those tag-on verses from the story of the Exodus story. But in this case, reveal one of those important characteristics of God that I think we need to grasp hold of and hold true. You'll actually, one of those characteristics I preached about not too long ago, but it does deserve repeating. But before we get to our focus verses for this morning, you may have heard the story about she would open the windows of her house and give thanks in prayer to God for the provision he provided. Well, 1 month, that Social Security check was running late, a couple weeks late, in fact, and it put her in a real tight situation. No matter, she still praised God for taking care of her. She opened her windows to her house, and her atheist neighbor sitting on his porch heard her pray this prayer. Lord, although I don't have any food, I know you will provide. Well, her neighbor thought this was a great opportunity to prove to her that there is no God. So he hurried to the store and bought a carload of groceries. When he got home, he put the groceries on her porch and rang the doorbell and ran and hid in the bushes right in front of her house. So he was ready to jump out as soon as she opened that door. Well, the woman opened the door, saw the groceries, and began to praise God. She said, "Thank you, God, for providing what I needed on this day." Well, her neighbor jumped out of the bushes and said, "See, God is not real. I bought these groceries. God didn't provide these for you." To which the old woman replied, "Well, I knew God would supply my need this day, but I didn't know that he would make the devil pay for it." The Lord provides. A couple weeks ago, we learned the name that Abraham gave on the top of the mountain when he was sacrificing his son. The name is Jehovah Jireh, which means God provides. Remember, he provided a ram in the thicket instead of having to sacrifice his own son. God provided then. God always provides. He does now. Scripture is full of examples of ways that God provides for his people. We can find countless testimonies that can serve as reassurances of his people being provided for. The pages of Scripture are full of examples. One of these examples is throughout the story of the people of Israel fleeing out of Egypt, going to the Promised Land. If we remember those first steps of the people leaving from Egypt, it all started with a little bit of heat. It all started with a little bit of fire. It all started, what one could say, was a little bit of light in the dark. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to read Exodus chapter 13, and we're just going to read three verses this morning. It's chapter 13, verses 20 through 22. And these are these tag-on verses that I think we quickly get to pass on to. As you turn the scripture to set the scene, if you remember Moses pleading with Pharaoh to let his people go. We all remember that. Please let my people go. Please let my people go. And then there were a host of plagues upon the Egyptian people. And the last one was the death of the firstborn children. After that plague, eventually Pharaoh said, "Go. Get out of here. Leave immediately." Well, these verses happen right at this time, where the people are let go, they're leaving Egypt, they start camping, and this is even before they get to the Red Sea. Even before God parts the waters, the Israelites are able to go through, and the waters come crashing down on Pharaoh's ark. So this happens even before that pivotal story that we all remember. So reading from Exodus chapter 13, verses 20 through 22 this morning. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud. Can you imagine the sight to behold that must have been for the Israelite people? Can darkness of night. But I am pretty confident that this pillar of fire was something way bigger and much more something to behold than simply a bonfire or a flashlight. See, we've got to remember, we're not talking about just a few people here. We're not talking about a group of about 50 or 100, even 1,000 or 10,000, even 100,000. It is estimated that it was about 1 million Israelites leaving the nation of Egypt, heading out into the dark when they were leaving to go towards the promised land. Leaving into the dark. How big of a light do you think it had to be for 1 million people to be able to see it? We can't get 10 or 15 people to walk the same way now. Can you imagine how big of a fire that had to be? You know, you ask three people how to get from here to Burlington, and they'll give you 10 different directions. Can you imagine how big of a fire or a cloud that had to be? God knew exactly what the Israelite people needed in that moment. He knew exactly what they needed exactly at the right time. You've got to remember, the Israelites had never been to the promised land. They were fleeing in fear. Fearing that the Egyptians were going to turn around and come get them, which they did. They were fearing this. They were fleeing. Grab what you have. Get what you can take. And let's go. Emotions were running rampant. But what did God give them? He gave them a great light in the dark that stood out in front of them that everybody could see and said, I'm here. Follow me. He knew the Israelites would need some confidence as they were leaving the great Egyptian empire, heading out to a place they had never been before. And what better thing to put into the sky but than a pillar of fire that would serve as their confidence? God knows exactly what we need, exactly the right time. Let's look at the travels of the Israelites a little bit more, a little bit closer. This wasn't the only thing he provided, but let's look at this provision a little bit closer. God provided light by which they could travel at night. And we might think traveling at night, well, that's not such a big deal. Well, we've got electricity. When we want to travel at night, we just turn the lights on of our car and we just go. Can you imagine driving anywhere without electrical lights these days? You know, I'm only 43 years old, and my eyes are getting bad. I mean, I can't see anything. I've been wearing bifocals for about 10 years, and I know I can't see anything in the dark. Even I don't like driving at night time in the dark anymore. And it gets bad. But can you imagine traveling out in the pitch black of dark and not being able to see anything? You would think traveling in the dark is not the best thing in the world. But for the Israelites, it was. Traveling with a million people together, traveling at night was important. One, because it was cool. It was cool. Back in that time when they were traveling, it was hot during the day. And you can imagine how many people complained about, are we there yet? How hot is it going to be? Really? Can we keep going? Can we take a break? You traveled at nighttime because it was cool. A million people, you did that. So he provided a light in the sky. But that wasn't the only reason. A million people traveling through a foreign territory, running into different people at that time, would have been a threat. Anybody that saw them coming would have thought, uh-oh, an army's coming. They're coming to take our land. They're coming to wage war against us. So if they traveled at dark, it would have been less of a threat. So God provided a light in the dark. Every step of the way, God lit their path. There's a story goes that a mom was putting her four-year-old daughter to bed one night. Her daughter was afraid of the dark, as a lot of little children are. And on this night, her husband happened to be away at work, and she too was a little bit on edge. When the light was out, the little girl caught a glimpse of the moon outside the window. And she said, "Mommy, is the moon God's light?" "Yes," the mother said. The child followed. "Well, will God put his light out when he goes to sleep?" The mother replied, "No, dear, God never goes to sleep." Then, out of the simplicity of the child's faith, the little girl said something, giving a little bit of reassurance to her mother that evening. "Well, as long as God is awake, there's no sense both of us staying awake." And the little girl went to sleep. God's light never goes out. As the psalmist says, God does not sleep or slumber. He watches over every step we take, keeping us from stumbling in the dark. We just need to make sure we are following the directions that the pillar of fire in our life is leading us. Once the Israelites arrived in the promised land, if we remember, that pillar of fire and that pillar of smoke just went away because they didn't need it anymore. God provided what they needed in that moment. That's what God does. But that's not the only thing God provided. We remember the rest of the story. God provided the food that the Israelites needed as they were in the wilderness. As someone who has taken dozens of youth on dozens of trips all over the place, the worst thing that could possibly pile up on a bus with a bunch of teenagers is someone from the back row saying, "I'm hungry. I'm hungry." Because as soon as those two words come out of the mouth of a teenager, about 10 other ones will chime in, "Me too. Me too. Where are we stopping to eat? Where is Kathy Hines' foodie bags?" Well, we already ate them about 5 hours down the road. Can you imagine 1 million people traveling together, and then one person says, "I'm hungry, where's the food?" So what did God do? He provided as only God could do. He rained down food from heaven. Both bread and meat from heaven, each family having exactly the amount that they needed. No more, no less. Exactly what they needed. It was God's way, in God's timing, in God's provision, in ways that the Israelites never could have imagined. God provides us blessings each day to provide what we need in ways we could never have imagined. Sometimes, and most of the time, we just call this coincidence. And that is one word I do not like. You've heard me say that before. I don't believe in coincidence. In reality, it is God doing what God always does. Who could have imagined bread showing up on the ground every morning in the wilderness? It's not coincidence. That's God. Who could have imagined the phone ringing just at the right time when we need just the right words of encouragement? That's not it. That's not coincidence. That's God. Who could have imagined the unexpected check coming in the mail to cover the expense of that unexpected medical bill that we forgot about? That's not coincidence. That's God. Who can expect the ring of the doorbell or the knock on our front door and that hug that we get from a friend just when we need? That's not coincidence. That's God. When we believe, when we trust God, we can put our complete faith in Him. God provides exactly what we need when we need it. Always has, always will. The Israelites did not need manna when they arrived in the Promised Land. If you read Scripture, He didn't keep providing it when they crossed over the Promised Land. They started providing food for themselves. But while they wandered in the wilderness, they needed it. But that's not all. He used the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. God provided shelter to the people in the wilderness. Psalm 121 says this: "The Lord Himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you day by day, nor the moon at night." Anyone who has grown up on or near a farm knows the blessings of a shade tree. All of you know my past. You know I didn't grow up on a farm. But my grandfather did. And I heard stories of my grandfather growing up on a farm. And he would talk to me about growing up on a farm and knowing where the best shade trees are. He would know the best shade trees, one, to hide from when his father wanted him to do some work. He would climb up to the tallest shade tree and hide as long as he could. But he also knew the best shade trees just to hang out in the heat of the day, in the dog days of summer, to climb, to hide, and shade from the sun. Anybody who has worked outside at any time, especially during summertime, knows the blessings of shade, knows the blessings of a cloud coming over at just the right time to block the sun. God, in his wisdom, used that cloud and used the cloud, the pillar of cloud, to provide the shelter, the shade that the Israelites needed while they were traveling. I would encourage you, if you have a little bit of time this afternoon, to go on Google and just type in pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. And then click on images, because you're going to see a bunch of definitions come up. And click on images. And you're going to see thousands of images come up from artist renditions of what they think this pillar of cloud looks like. I actually posted one up on Facebook for our Facebook advertisement for the worship service this morning. But it is absolutely incredible some of what the artists believe this looked like. It's awe-striking. Some of them are pretty creative. Some of them took some artistic liberties of what they thought it looked like, as you might say, but each and every one of them showed one thing in particular: this protective shelter, this protective pavilion that protected the Israelite people. Every single image shows that point. You see, God provided the shelter the Israelites needed. God provides the shelter we need from the sun, from the storms, and the ups and downs of life. He is our pavilion to keep us out of the heat. He is our pavilion to keep us safe and dry. The shelter and protection that God provides will take many different forms during the course of our lives. It all depends on what we need in that moment. It could be an army of invisible warriors on chariots of fire. That's what Elisha needed. We talked about last week. That's what you might need right now. In times of wondering, it could be a pillar of fire out in front of you, if that's what you need right now. When our faith is in God, he will provide the shelter we need on our journey to serve him. In closing this morning, the simple truth is this: God provides. God provides exactly what we need in exactly the right time. He knew exactly what the Israelites needed as they were fleeing from Egypt and as they began their long journey towards the promised land. We certainly will find ourselves in the wilderness just like they did in life. You may be walking in a wilderness right now, but when we do, when we are wonderingly, aimlessly like they were, without a point of reference, keep your eyes open. Because God, who is the one who sent the pillar of fire, who was the pillar of fire, is that same pillar of fire for you. Because if that's what you need, that's what he will provide. Trust me, it will be exactly what you need. Trust God. The Israelites did, and guess where it led them? It led them to the promised land. Maybe that's where he's leading you this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your provision day by day. Thank you for using the journey of the Israelites so many years ago to serve as a continuing witness to your provision. A pillar of fire and cloud in the sky serves as a beacon of your love for them, and it serves as a beacon of love for us this day. Father, Father, whether we're walking aimlessly in the wilderness or whether we are following your light this day, thank you for providing for us every single day. We lift this prayer to you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn, maybe today is the first time you recognize that God has been providing you every step of the way. And you want to turn your life over to him. I'll be down front and come and talk to you about what it means to give your life to Christ, the one who gave it all for you, who provided his life so we can know what true freedom is in him. I'll be down front. Are you looking for a church family that just loves God and is journeying and following him, following that pillar of fire that's in front of us as a church family? We'll embrace you. And let me tell you about what it means to be a part of our family of God here at First Baptist. Or maybe just today you're just walking aimlessly or wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. Maybe you just need to come before God. The altar is always open. This is not my altar. It's God's altar. If you need to pray before him, come to the altar. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, maybe next week or maybe in a couple of weeks. Come today. I'll pray with you as well. Don't put it off. Whatever God has laid on your heart today, let's lift to him today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. Go with that assurance, and I look forward to seeing you next time.